And what one of the things that I enjoy so much about both of them is that they're from the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. I appreciate men's experiences, and I appreciate some of the stories that they tell, and I appreciate a lot of the supporting things that are brought into a message, but I appreciate the Word of God. That's what we need. The scriptures, Jesus talked about, he's the bread of life, he's the true bread, and he is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We need that Word. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, New Testament, doth man live, Old Testament. Okay, Deuteronomy 8, and when Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. All right? Probably Matthew 3, I think it is. So I want to continue, because what you've heard this morning has come from the Word of God. And I have, you know, if you've been here much, you know it's probably sounding like a broken record, but I cannot emphasize enough the need for us to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. God knows what we need. And so he put it here for us. This is not the opinions of some 40 authors in 66 books. It's one author, about 40 penmen, and 66 books, the Word of God. Harmonious from cover to cover. If we think something contradicts, it's on us. This is the inspired Word of God. Paul said it's all scripture given by inspiration, right? Right. Not only did he say it's all scripture given by inspiration, he said it's profitable. Right. Profitable. I'm not saying it's going to increase your bank account. What I'm saying is going to do you good. It's going to do you good. All right. Psalm 19. I should have told you where I was going. Psalm 19. I'm going to have to jump in the middle of it. I very much appreciate what's been said this morning. It was concise. It was rich, and I'm thankful for it. And when Brother Destry began with the subject of faith, I thought, boy, we could be here a while. If it's big, all right? And then Brother Kenneth came along and talking about God being a refuge and help, you know, strength. Everything that you can think of as far as the Word of God and those who have tried to preach it and those who have studied it for very long, you know that when you start understanding something, it gets bigger and bigger. And the more you know about it, the bigger it gets. And what I mean by bigger it gets is the more you realize you don't know about it. All right? So we've got bulletins back there that each month that has a reading schedule for you if you want to go through the Bible in a year. However you feel comfortable reading, I encourage you to read the Word, whether you're listening to it. You know, there's a lot of people that have things that they listen to, whether you read it. You know, I'm just old-fashioned enough. I just feel comfortable with a book in my hand. Okay, whatever it takes, we need to be feeding on the Word of God every day. As much as we can. That's what Brother Destry mentioned, Elder Sonny Pyle, and his brother-in-law, Elder Gene Thomas, asked Brother Sonny one time, how should we study our Bibles? And he answered him with one word. More. More. It'll do you good. All right, I hope you found Psalm 19 by now. The heavens declare the glory of God. Have you heard it? Have you seen it? You don't have to be a child of God to appreciate nature. That's right, I said it. But when you appreciate it to the point where you admire your God who made it all, now we're talking about a child of God. You know, and when I was in college, and I had to take an astronomy course. Now, I liked the course, but I had to endure the instructor. I mean, he didn't seem like he had an ounce of faith in him. All he wanted to talk about was the millions and billions of years that it took and the Big Bang and all those kinds of how it all. He had no appreciation for the one who made it all. The one who had all the wisdom and power to bring it into existence, and it wasn't a struggle. It didn't take him millions of years to bring all of this into existence. If you want to call the Big Bang that God said it and bang, it was there, I'll go along with that. I'll go along with that. God had that power. And he still has that power. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, if you don't understand that, get yourself a telescope. I mean, it's the immensity of creation. And God has respect unto us and our problems. It might be a little problem. It might be a hangnail. Whatever the case, you know, but God is concerned about us in the immensity of this creation. Whether we're talking about on this planet and this solar system and this galaxy and whatever beyond that. All right. The heavens declare. Now, to me, the important part of that, the heavens declare the glory of God. They are doing that 24/7, 365 and a fourth days in the year. They're continually praising. They're doing what God created them to do. Get that? They are doing what God created them to do. All right, if it's shining forth, they're shining forth all the time. The heavens declare the glory of God. How glorious is it that God is so great and so powerful and so wise that he could make this harmonious creation with its complexity and all of the blessings that we enjoy in the environment we have. The heavens declare the glory. Do you mean there's more than one heaven? Well, yes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about he was caught up to the third heaven. So there's at least three. And I think that's all there is. The third heaven. Okay? The first heaven is where the birds fly. You can see that by the light of day. The second heaven is where the celestial bodies are. The planets, the stars. All of that. The third heaven is God's throne. It's where God is. That's what Paul, when he was caught up to the third heaven and he saw things that were unlawful to be uttered, he didn't have the words, he didn't have the ability, and perhaps it wasn't even time for us to know some of those things. But Paul was caught up to the third heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. I don't have time to go through all of this chapter. What I really want to get to is verses 7 through 11, mainly. But the first six verses speak of the natural creation and revelation, that the things that you can see with the natural eye, you don't have to have the Spirit of God to be able to see the stars or see the sun. It's just a natural thing. And yet even that declares the glory of God. Okay? The verses 7 through 11 speak of what's revealed to us in the Scripture. So you have to have faith. You have to be born again in order to see those things. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. But really that principle applies to anything spiritual. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that is the man without the Spirit of God, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. We have to have the Spirit to be able to see it and know it and appreciate it. And then in the last verses 12 through 14, we have what we experience by grace, and hopefully that we grow in these things. So, like I said, I can't get into all of this, but he speaks about the sun. You know, the sun is it shines upon the earth, and it's a blessing to everybody. We receive benefits from the sun every day, whether we think about it or not. There's warmth, there's light, there's all kinds of benefits that we receive from the sun, and it's doing exactly what God designed it to do. All right? Likewise, the Word of God is there for us all the time. You know, when Psalms was written, we didn't have the New Testament, right? But there's plenty in the Old Testament that speaks of the glory of God, that speaks of the power of God, that speaks of his love for his people. Even though it doesn't use the word love as much as it does in the New Testament, yet we see by actions that God loved his people and he watched over them, he provided for them, and he cared for them. All right? So when we think about God's word, when we think about how that beyond the natural creation, we have God that's given us his word, and it's there for us to help us and provide for us and bless us every day. Now, here's a clue. That word, just like the heavens declare the glory of God, they do that every day, whether you think about it or not. It's happening every day. And the benefit of God's word, whether you ever open the pages of it and read it, whether you ever think about it or not, the benefit of this word is here. It is available to us, and it is fullness. Everything that we, you know, when I didn't quote of 2 Timothy 3:17, but after he said all scripture is given by inspiration and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, verse 17 says that the man of God, that's all of us, that the man of God may be perfect. Now he was speaking to Timothy as a minister, but it applies to all of us. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book gives you instruction for all good works. It's here, whether you ever open it or not. It's here. Just like the heavens declare the glory of God every day, this word declares the glory of God and the works of God and the blessings of God, the salvation that he's provided to us. It's here every day, whether you read it or not. It's here. Your neglect of it will not remove its benefit. But our neglect of it will sure keep the benefit from being ours. We need this word. All right? Now, I got a few more minutes. Verse 7. By the way, there's so many places you can go in the scriptures to find God's servants declaring to us the blessing of the word of God. All right, Moses, you remember Moses? I mean, he was a faithful servant of the Lord, powerful servant of the Lord, the Old Testament. He said in Deuteronomy 32:40-something, he said, it's not a vain thing for you to observe the words of this law, for it is your life. It'll add to your life. It'll be a blessing for your life. It'll enrich your life. It'll help you to walk in fellowship with God. All right? It's your life. David, Psalm 1, Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Then he goes on to talk about the great benefits that we would receive from meditating upon the law of God. Right? I've already given you what Paul said to Timothy, that all scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable. And then you go to the very last book of the Bible, John, the revelation that Jesus gave to John to give to us. He speaks of the great value as he's closing out the book. Blessed is he that readeth. Did you hear that? Blessed is he that readeth. He didn't say understand it, although we hope to understand it. And we study it so that we can understand more. But he said, I'll bless you just for reading it. He'll help us with the understanding. That's a promise you got from Hebrews 11:6. He'll help us if we apply ourselves to read this word. He will help us to understand it with his spirit. All right? I hope I've built a case now for the value of the word of God. Oh, and Jesus closed out the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The winds came, the rains descended, and it beat upon that house, but it stood because it was built upon a rock. You see what that means? It means when you build your life upon the Word of God, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have strength. I think I heard that this morning. We're going to have the everlasting strength of God will be given to us to help us when the troubles come. Amen. Right? Amen. All right. Verse 7. Now, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Just like Psalm 119, it talks about statutes and judgments and the law of the Lord and commandments and all of those kinds of things. All right, I don't want to spend time trying to tell you the difference between a law and a commandment and a judgment and whatever. What I want to focus on is that they're all God's words and they all have benefits. Let's look at the benefits. All right. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Do you know what that means? Sure you do. But I'll tell you anyway. It means it's right. You can trust it. You can depend upon it. If God says this is the way it's going to be, guess what? It's going to be that way. And he could say something 400 years from now is going to be this way, and it'll happen just like he said it would, because he's shown us in his word. He told Abraham about his children, that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. And at that time, Abraham didn't even have any seed. But later he did, and later they did. They were in Egypt for 400 years, just like God said it was. So the law of the Lord is perfect. What's the benefit? What's the benefit? Converting the soul. If you have a reference Bible, you see that the translator said that also could have been not only converting, but it also could have been restoring the soul. Do you ever need some restoration? Does your thinking ever need some adjusting? Some converting, some changing of the way you've thought about things? Yes, we need that. And guess what? Here's the perfect source to get that done. Okay? When Paul would say to the Ephesian brethren about put off the old man and put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge, he's talking about by reading the word of God, it transforms us. Romans chapter 12, when he says, be not conformed, don't be squeezed into the mold of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from inside out be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of what? Renewing your mind with this word. This word is what you need to transform your thinking. Okay? The Spirit of God gives you life. But Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, add to your faith. You see, the faith comes in the new birth, like we've heard this morning. But add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. There's a lot that we need to add to what God's given us so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge. And that's how Peter finished out his second epistle. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This word. Grow in this word. All right. So he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It'll save us. I don't mean for heaven. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. But it'll save us from bad choices. It'll save us from bad thinking. It'll save us from a lot of things. And we need that. So it delivers us. So the law of the Lord is perfect. It'll save us from error. Converting the soul. The testimony. All right. The rest of that verse. The testimony of the Lord. What is that? It's sure. Okay, it's faithful. What's the benefit? Making wise the simple. Do you need wisdom? I do. I've been studying this word for 40-something years, and I still need a lot of wisdom. The more I study the word, the more I realize I need more wisdom. Okay, I'm not ashamed to admit that. I need more wisdom. But guess what? So do you. So do you. But guess what? There's good news. The Apostle James told us in James, he says, if any man lack wisdom, I believe it right there in the first few verses of the book, if any man lack wisdom, where are you going to go buy it? Walmart don't sell it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I think I heard that this morning. Go to the Lord first. And go to this word. He gave it to us for a reason. All right? As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things you shouldn't have to pray for because he's already told us the answer right here. And if he's told us the answer right here, that may be why he's not answering your request, because he's already told us. All right. Making wise the simple. We're all start out simple. And we need wisdom. All right. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Now that just drives some people insane. This is the absolute standard of right and wrong. That's what drives some people insane. Well, I don't think so. I think it's different. Well, you're wrong. You know, on the authority of God's word, he's the only one that's eternal. I mean, he's blessed us with eternal life, but he's the only one true and living God who has life in and of himself, who is the eternal being who created all these things, and what he says is what matters. And he hasn't changed his mind. When he revealed it to us in this word, it was the truth to start with. It was right to start with. It will always be right. It will always be the truth. I don't care what society says. So we'll either line up with God or we'll line up with the word, with the world. Okay? I think I want to trust God, because he's the one with all the wisdom. He's the one with the power. He's the one who knows what we need. He's the one who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46. All right, let's see. What else does he say? The statutes of the Lord are right. What does that do? Rejoices the heart. Rejoicing the heart is what the word says. What does that mean? Well, what it means is if you have the Spirit of God in you and you do according to the commandments, the Spirit within you will cause joy and rejoicing when we walk according to truth. When we walk according to what's right, we have rejoicing within us because the Spirit is there and it rejoices with the truth. If you got a lot of trouble in there, if you feel a lot of conflict and struggle in there, something is grieving the Spirit. Something is contrary to the truth. So when he says the statutes of the Lord are right, in other words, when we follow those, when we walk according, when we live according to those statutes, there's rejoicing in our heart because the Spirit is there and the Spirit rejoices with the truth. All right? The commandments of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It gives us light. You know, just like this world benefits from the sun, because it gives us light so we can see how to go about our day and do the things that we need to do, then so also God's word is light, and it helps us to know how we need to go in this life. What is it, Psalm 119, 105? Right? You've heard that a few times. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need that word to lighten our path, to help us to see clearly. There's times that we need to make choices. There's times that we need to make decisions. There's times when we need to do things. And we need all the light we can get. We need guidance from the Lord. And he's pleased to do that. But we need to seek him for it. You know, we have not because we ask not sometimes. All right? But he's pleased to give us those things that we need. You know, he doesn't give us what we don't need. So, you know, sometimes you give somebody a gift and it might be nice, but it might not be nice for them. But God doesn't do that. When God gives a gift, when God blesses, it's like a tailor-made suit. It's just for you. Exactly for you. All right? So we need that. God's word helps us to see where to go, how to do. All right? Now, I'm not saying that you just because you read your Bible every day, you're always going to get the answers immediately. No, that's not the way God works. If it pleases him to do so, you'll get it. All right? But you'll get it on time. All right. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. When we walk according to this word, we're walking in the fear of the Lord because we're reverencing God. We're reverencing what he says. We're respecting what he says. We're observing to do what he says. And he says it's clean. You know, have you ever made some boneheaded mistakes and you just felt dirty from it? You know, I'm just trying to be real here. When we do wrong, it makes us feel dirty. But when we do right, it rejoices the Spirit. It lifts us up. All right? So he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In other words, God's word is right. It'll be right forever. And when we follow that, then as long as we're following that, no matter how long we follow it, there's blessings, there's joy, there's help for our day. All right? And he says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You can trust you can trust the Word of God to be your faithful guide in making decisions, whatever it might be. Because this Word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Now, that was just a cursory discussion of those verses. But now, listen to what he says in verse 10 and 11. More to be desired are they. They what? The words of the Lord. Whether it's judgments or statutes or commandments or law or whatever. More to be desired are they than gold. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You know, gold's pretty valuable. Well, yeah, it is. But it's not as good as God's word. Because God's word will last you a lifetime. You can take the word of God, you can use it and use it and use it and use it, and you'll have more of it. You use gold and you use it up. I don't care how valuable it is. You'll use it up. You can go through it quickly. But the more you use the Word of God, the more you'll understand the Word of God, the more you'll appreciate the Word of God, the more you'll trust the Word of God, the more you'll be blessed by the Word of God. It just grows. That's valuable. That's God's economy. Just like love. If you got some love, give it away. And you won't be without love, you'll have more of it. And when you use the Word of God, you'll have more of it. It's amazing, isn't it? But that's the amazing thing about God's Word. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Again, the same principle. You can use up the honey and the honeycombs, but God's Word will remain sweet your entire lifetime. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You know, there's some things I've experienced in life that I wish somebody had slapped me upside the head because I didn't listen the first time. You know, I mean, life is a teacher. You experience some things and you learn, you grow. All right? But all the while, this word was here saying, hey, here's wisdom. If you'll just follow it, it'll do you good. But what do? We keep the book closed, and we go trying to do our own thing, and then someday, hopefully, we find out, oh, yeah, that's what God meant by that. If I'd have done that, I'd have saved myself a lot of heartache and trouble. By them, thy servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. It's profitable, like Paul said to Timothy. It's profitable. There's great reward by keeping the word of God. So, let's just kind of read verses 12 through 14. I know time's gone, but who can understand his errors? We're not talking about God's errors. He doesn't have any. We're talking about our errors. Who can understand your errors? Well, this right here will show them to you. This right here will give you some understanding about your errors. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. There, I've got faults that I don't even realize. I might have some faults that you don't know about, and I'm not going to tell you. All right? But this word will teach us. Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. What is that? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. That's a big one. Okay? And what it's rooted in is pride. All sin is a result of pride. You go back to the garden, and the devil told Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die," when God said that plainly they would die. Okay? The devil said, "Oh no, you're not surely die." Well, who was right? Who was right? God was right. He always is. All right? "Thou shalt not surely die," the devil said, "because God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So they ate. They listened to the devil. Their pride got in the way and said, "Okay, the devil said God's holding out on us. We don't want to miss out." All right, anyway. Presumptuous sin is self-willed. Self-willed, pride. Anytime that you make a choice, you know what's right, but I want to do this. I know I ought to do that, but I'm going to do this because I like that. I enjoy that. I'm going to do that. That is presumptuous sin. Because pride, your pride has gotten between you and God's word and said, "That's what I'm going to do. I don't care what's right." And we've all done it. And we might do it again. We need this word. We need God's help every day to stay close to Him so that we can see clearly what we need to do. We need that vision. By the way, Peter makes mention of that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. I don't have time to get into all that he's saying here, but he's speaking of false prophets and teachers, and he says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh," got it? Somebody walking after the flesh, "in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous." Aren't we talking about presumptuous sin in Psalm 19? He says, "Presumptuous are they." It's the same word, by the way. "Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They know it's not right, but they do it anyway because they want to." Presumptuous sin. The word of God will keep us because it'll teach us, it'll instruct us what's right. And when we follow what's right, it rejoices the heart. And we want to stay close to God. We want to be clean in our activities. And it'll help us against presumptuous sin. I'm not saying it's going to totally keep you from it, but the more you stay close to the Lord, if you draw nigh close, James tells us, if you draw nigh to the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. Okay? So that's the help we have. All right? "Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." You know, the more somebody continues in sin, the more dominion it has over them. Right? James, I keep going back to James, but James is a great lesson here about sin, and when he says in James chapter 1, "Let no man say that he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man with sin," that is. "For every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then lust, when it's conceived," in other words, it brings forth more lusts, it starts multiplying. "And lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished," when it the conclusion, the direction that is taking you, and if it has the opportunity to complete itself, "sin bringeth, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." Death. That's not the direction we want to go. We want to live. The word of God, observing the word of God is your life. All right? "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let it not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." I just described to you the great transgression. Somebody that's going in the wrong direction and they keep going. Presumptuous sin takes over, has dominion, and leads them to their destruction. All right. Let the words, okay, and he closes out this psalm by saying in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. That covers a lot, doesn't it? The words of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are we speaking? Are we speaking good things? Are we speaking spiritual things? Are we speaking the things of the world? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He's saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. What are you thinking about? What's in your heart? He says, let these things be acceptable in thy sight. Do you know how it's going to be acceptable in his sight? When it's in agreement with this, the word of God. When it's in agreement with what God says is good for us and will be a blessing to us, that will be acceptable in his sight. And he says, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is our refuge and strength. He has given us faith. We need to add to that faith. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this word is indispensable. We need it every day. I cannot encourage you enough to avail yourselves to the word. And I'm telling you something. Over the years, I've had people say, oh, preacher, I know I need to read the Bible, but I just don't understand it. Well, you're not the Lone Ranger. Everybody starts from there. Okay? But he will help you. You know, it's kind of mundane to read it, but over in Isaiah, and I've forgotten which chapter, he says, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And this is a direct quote. Here a little, there a little. That's how you learn the word of God. I know we live in a day when we want the cliff notes. We want the short version. We want just the bottom line. We want it now. Well, you're not going to get the word of God that way. You might get some good verses every now and then, but you're not going to understand that God loves us so much that he's given us this word to be a great blessing to us while we walk here in this life. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to redeem us from our sins. And someday he's coming back to gather us up and take us home to be with him forever. And there'll be no more presumptuous sin. There'll be no more pride. There'll be no more troubles. There'll be no more heartaches. But he'll be delivered us from all of those things that we can have joy and rejoicing forevermore in the one that loved us and gave himself for us that we might be with him forever. Even as the heavens declare the glory of God, he's called us to be a glory to him while we walk here in this life. May God help us to do it 24/7, 365 and a fourth days every year. May God bless you is our prayer.